Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the jackiewoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. Listening to your heart speak daily allows you to align your thinking, feeling, and doing with your spirit. It is by letting your heart matter that you'll be able to live from the inside out. Each week, we talk about a heart energy. Most of us think of ourselves as what we do, what we say, you know, what our personality is like, our profession. Are we a mom? Are we a dad? Do we do this? Do we do that? We don't think of ourselves as a composite of heart qualities, heart energies, that we don't think of ourselves as being an energetic being. But we are. And the purpose of this show is to help you to realize that you are an energetic being. And when you bring that energy into your thinking and into your feeling and into your action, then that alignment from your heart gives you power in the world like you've never known, because that is the creative force of this universe. So we try to enlarge the awareness in our world about this very truth that we have forgotten. So be sure and sign up for the weekly heart energy, and it will be emailed to you on Saturday morning, so you can meditate with us Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and prepare for this day so that you will be full of this particular energy. You will have an awareness of it, and you'll be able to ask any questions that have come up. You'll be able to bring us comments about your experience and join with us, because joining with us helps to make this show more. So please do that. The energy that you received this week that we all meditated on was the energy of light. Now, the little saying that goes with it says, light is the essence of all life. So this is a very big energy. This is the very essence of all other energies. It is the spark of the divine in every single heart quality that you have. So this is big. I want to share an experience that I had last night around the energy of light. I went to the Greenville Symphony in Greenville, South Carolina. We live in North Carolina, but Greenville's close. And the conductor there is just an amazing man. He's from Russia, and Greenville's very lucky to have him. He does a good job. But they had a guest pianist there, and I'm not sure I know how to pronounce his name. It's Swedish. Even though he was born in America, he has a Swedish name. It's Andrew von
Oyen.
Oyen, I guess. It's O-E-Y-E-N, Oyen, I suppose. I don't know. I had never heard of him, but oh my goodness, he was amazing. And he played with the symphony Chopin's Second Concerto in F. Now, if you know music at all, you know that's a very, very difficult piece. And we have recordings of it that I've heard, and while I can really appreciate the difficulty of it and the beauty of it, because it's beautiful, that's been my experience of it, and it's a piece that I like. But this experience was experience of light. The key of F is the key of music that resonates with the heart chakra. So it's a heartful piece of music if you get there. Now, everybody obviously didn't have the same experience, because here I was standing up applauding, you know, out of my seat, and a few other people, but not the standing ovation that the conductor got for the next piece, which was Beethoven's Fifth. And while it was well done, the basses were sawing away at different times, not together. And I thought, this guy was great. Mm-hmm. What is wrong with these people? I sat there and cried through this piece. The light was so, yes, I felt everything, his passion that he was playing with, yes, but that's not enough to bring me to tears. I felt that with lots of performers. His technique was incredibly perfect. And I've seen that with lots of performers because music's been important to me for years, and I've gone to many performances. And yes, the physical experience of him working with the symphony, because in this Chopin piece, the symphony and he became one instead of, you know, kind of doing the synchronicity thing. They were one. So I experienced that physical manifestation of it. But what really got me was the man played from his heart. He played, and whatever energies he was playing from, I couldn't even identify, because the light that I experienced that lit me went all the way through. And if you know Chopin's music at all, you know that it and particularly this piece, is very lyrical, but at the same time, it has that, what's the word I want? Pathos, that's the word, pathos. It has the pathos in it, and you could feel the pathos, but it was like the heart of the composer, Chopin, and of the performer, this performer, Andrew whatever, came together and resonated and were able to break through the composer's pathos and at the same time reach to his, what he did have to offer in light that made it through his block, his resistance, his pathos, made it through that into the lyrical quality, because both of those are there in his music. So while I'm not trying to give a critique of music, I'm trying to say my experience, which is really hard to do. Tears just poured from me, and I was riveted. I mean, I was leaning, found myself leaning forward the whole time. It was like I was trying to connect even physically with it. So that was my experience. And I thought, how perfect, you know, in the key of F, the heart energy. And it was more than just this man's passion, which was there, or his technique, which was incredible, or the physical joining with the symphony. And they did seem to be in total harmony. It was the light that came through all of that, that came through the composer's music, that came through this man and pushed the resistance. You could feel it, but went all the way through it to an experience of complete resonance for me. Now, obviously, everybody in there didn't have that same experience. So you might ask, how did that happen?
Why did that happen?
Why didn't everybody have the same experience? You know, and that was my question. Well, what is wrong with these people? Mm-hmm. How can they stand up and give a standing ovation for the basses sawing away at different times out of sync with each other when they couldn't stand up and give a standing ovation for this man? I mean, they did eventually, you know, but, you know, they weren't just up. So, it was an energetic experience, as opposed to it was a holistic energetic experience, as opposed to one part or two parts of me. It was a body, mind, spirit, and emotional experience, not just one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've rambled on forever. Do you want to comment on that, or do you want to share a story?
I liked your story. You know, I don't know that I've ever had a musical experience like that. I've had music that's touched me pretty deeply, but I don't know that I've ever had the full body experience like that, where each of my chakras was touched.
It's totally resonating together in harmony. Yeah.
And, you know, some of that may be that I wasn't listening to the most powerful music, but some of it may be that I was myself blocked on one of those chakras at a certain time.
Obviously, a good number of the people in that audience missed what I did because they were blocked.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why you say, you know, how could everybody not applaud? I think our perception of light has a lot to do with how clear we are. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was 12, something like that, my dad and my brother and I all started taking martial arts lessons together. It's a family thing that we did. And we chose a Japanese style that had I known, I know a lot about martial arts now, and had I known all that I know, I wouldn't have started perhaps with that style, because it's the most gymnastic, you know, muscularly challenging sort of postures and stuff they do. It's not easy martial arts. It was a Taido, I think, was the style. And the sensei there was a very, very good teacher, very spiritual man. But he believed that, you know, the first order of business was you have to be in shape. You cannot defend yourself if you're in shape. So he worked us like dogs. I mean, we would run and run and run every class, and thousands of push-ups and sit-ups and punch in the air and kick in the heavy bag and just, you know, work, physical work for the first half of class. And then they'd teach you a little technique or something, and then you'd go practice it. But always, every class, work, you know. And I was, you know, I was an active kid. I rode my bike, I played, stuff like that. But I had never been into working out or anything like that. And the first couple of months there, I was just dying. My tongue was hanging down to my knees, and I'm coming home drenched in sweat every day. And I remember after about a month of just feeling like every last ounce of energy had been wrung out of me, I must have cleared some of my chakras that way, just from the constant breathing and shouting and, you know, trying to focus the energy all while running like crazy and working my muscles. Because I remember about a month into it, we finished a workout and we sat down in a circle, and the sensei was going to teach us something, and he started talking, and I'm sitting there just, you know, panting, trying to keep it quiet, and I look around the room, and I could see light around everybody that was sitting on the floor, some more bright than others, some the light sort of extended further away, and there was a sort of distortion, like when you go to the gas pump and you see those gas fumes that make the air sort of crinkly. I could kind of see that around people too. And I said, you know, oh, this must be, I'm seeing their aura, because, you know, I had grown up with you and you see auras, and I never had before, but you had talked about it enough that I was, you know, clever enough to go, oh, that must be what it is. Now, I didn't see all the colors in it that some people see, but I did for the first time see light coming out of people. But I think it was probably all that forcing energy through my body over and over and over again for a month that sort of, you know, cleaned the drain out enough that I could see and experience that. And I think that a lot of us don't perceive all the light that is around us simply because we ourselves are blocked in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the picture that I got when I meditated was the energy pathways. They're called meridians, but the energy pathways that go through the body. Yes, we have blood vessels, but there are also energy pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can do foot reflexology, and those energy pathways go all the way down into your foot from your organs. And you know, you have these meridians that go out from each of the energy, seven energy centers in your body. And I call them energy pathways. But there's a story of a man that went over to China to learn Tai Chi. And he, you know, they do it out in the open every day. And he was out there trying to do it. And there was this old Chinese man sitting on the bench watching him. And finally the Chinese man came to him and he said, you have to connect your rivers of light So he saw the meridians and called them rivers of light.
Uh-huh.
And this poor guy was just trying to do the technique right, which is, you know, what a lot of performers do. They do the technique right. Uh-huh. They don't connect the rivers of light. Now, we talk about the connecting of the chakras, but if you do, or those bodies of body, mind, spirit, and emotions, if you connect that, then the rivers of light will automatically flow through you as they're supposed to. So my picture was the rivers of light, or the pathways of light, however you want to say it, meridians, whatever you want to call it. And that's what we have to, in order to have light, we have to focus on light, the light of our energetic body, just as much as we focus on the blood flowing through our physical body. Now, the two work together, and you brought them together perfectly in your picture. Because if your physical body is not working well, then the energy of the physical cannot carry those lit rivers of light.
That makes sense. Yeah. My meditation was very similar. I had a client this week, and I mentioned that our radio show would be on light this time. And so last night she sent me an email with a quote in it about light that was, you know, important to her. And so I read that right before bed. And when I got up this morning, that quote was still sort of ringing around in my head, and I'm sure it affected the picture that I came up with. But it was from the Bible, Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And as much as I memorized scriptures growing up, I don't remember that one. That's really nice.
Well, Proverbs is kind of a boring book. Everybody
yeah.
skips over that one. There's no there's no action in it. But I was thinking about that, and I closed my eyes and I did my meditation, and what came to me was just a picture of the Creator, of God, whatever you call that creative force, breathing light into us human beings. And we became emanators of it. You know, that light that I saw in my karate class coming out of people is not because there's a little generator inside of them. It's because they're tubes, hollow tubes, and divine breath gets breathed through them. And that's...
And it goes through the pathways.
That's where the light comes from.
Yeah.
And the more I worked with that, you know, it was kind of an image of like when you take a little coal or something out of the fire and you breathe on it real gently and it kind of flares up. It was that image, just this divine light being breathed into us and us kind of flaring up and getting brighter. And as I thought about that and tried to involve my more analytical left brain with it, the thing that came to me is that if we breathe air, and God breathes light, how much heavier is air than light? Well, that's the exact difference between our vibration and the divine vibration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for us to be one with God, to embrace our divinity, we're going to have to raise our vibration so that our breath is weightless as light.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of breathing that heavy oxygen, we need to breathe something that weightless.
And when we do learn breathing techniques, that breath does help that energy to go through those light pathways.
Mm-hmm.
It does make a difference. And the more those light pathways are opened up and we become an energetic being, the more it pulls our physical vibration to that divine. I want to take a few minutes here to acknowledge the Ottawehe Wellness Retreat. It's a place where you don't just get away from it all, but you have more than that. You get to go home healthier. At the Ottawehe Wellness Retreat, you have all the amenities of a bed and breakfast, plus access to a health food store, a fitness room, peaceful walking trails, and 10 alternative healers. not only do you have all those wellness things, but there's such things as gift store, boutique store, movie store, all kinds of supports that you would want on a vacation. You can get all the gifts to take back and never even have to leave the 126 acres of land where you can be at peace in the midst of all kinds of beauty. So this is a place where retreat becomes renewal, and you can find out all about it, about the Adawahi Wellness Retreat at adawahi.com, adawehi.com. We have an email from our Facebook, actually. It's a question from Christine Tower. Christine asks, when you are in reaction, and clearly it is a wound, is there a key to hanging on to faith and trust that this is simply a lesson that is leading you to the light? That's a great question. Would you like to start with that, Russell?
Sure. Is there a key to
hanging on to faith and trust and remembering that to help you remember that this is a lesson and that there's something beyond that lesson that is light, and that this is just trying to, this is a resistance that's in the way. You know, when a person does acupressure, when Autumn, our sound and color acupressure person, does acupressure, she pushes a certain point, and it helps to move that light meridian on through. A wound can be an emotional wound. It can be a mental thinking wound. It can be a physical wound. But all of those block the energy flow. And when it blocks the energy flow, she's saying, what do you hang on to remember that that light is what's more important rather than this block?
Well, I have to admit that the thing that I remember most often is perhaps not the most positive memory in the world. There's probably more happier ways to motivate yourself. But there was a student that worked with us here for a while, and she sort of drifted away from our spiritual path and got pretty into the darkness as opposed to the light. And I remember many years later we found out that she had died of pancreatic cancer, and you told me that her spirit came to you from the other side after she had died and was asking that you intercede on her behalf because the light in her soul had dropped below 50%, and her individual soul was going to be recycled into pure energy. That you lose the privilege. It's not a right, it's a privilege to be an individual being if you abuse the light that you're given. Mm-hmm. If you just trade on fear and hatred and selfishness and greed, and you do not express that light and instead choose to express darkness, then your light in your soul drops. And if it goes below 50%, that soul gets recycled and, you know, becomes just pure universal energy again to be used for whatever. And that made a lasting impression on me. And I thought, you know what? it's not a guarantee. You do have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps sometimes. If you know that you're in a funk, if you know you're just acting out of a fear or a hurt or a wound.
Or a selfishness.
Don't just think, well, I'll wallow around in this for a while. Nothing bad will ever come of it. There are consequences. Mm-hmm. And that has motivated me out of more than one funk that I can mm-hmm. attest to. I have a quote from Abraham Lincoln that I put on the front of my journal one time. It says, I'm not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live up to the light that I have.
Oh, I like that.
And that's been sort of a operating principle for me, is you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to we're all going to have our ups and downs. We'll forget our way. We'll, be snippy. We'll be selfish every once in a while. But if you don't correct the course, if you don't say, wait a second, I'm bigger than this. I don't have to stay here. I've got more light than that, and it is my job to express that light. Then, yeah, you can drift off the path and you can get lost. And
you know, what really helps, I think, a lot of people and me is that, you know, if you try to do this growth path by yourself, it's really hard because your wounds, you've so identified yourself as being those wounds rather mm-hmm. than being the light, that it's real easy to begin to actually nurture and take care of your wounds instead of release them.
Yeah.
And so what I have found is that being in what I call synergy or in group support really does help on this journey, and I find it a necessity. Because how are you going to really collect pieces you need from other people's hearts? Because if you already had it, you wouldn't have the wound, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to collect that if you're not around people who are also trying to be heartful and who are really trying to grow and can support you in that journey?
Mm-hmm.
I talked with a lady recently that, you know, she said, well, I've done that. I've grown in the past. I don't need to do that anymore. I see it as an ongoing thing, but you also need ongoing support. And I've watched people that have said, oh, well, you know, I don't really need that support. I've got all the pieces I need. And they step away from that support. And pretty soon, they can't separate out what is a wound and what is them. They lose sight of what that light is as opposed to the ego wounded parts of themselves.
Yeah, and that goes back to our original point of you don't see the light and experience it and resonate with it fully unless you keep yourself clear.
Right. And I was totally, absolutely open and clear when I went to that. We had had our house meeting. You know, I had meditated long and hard that morning. I had a very clear space that day. And so when I went to that concert last night, I got to have a light experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not just an enjoyable evening or an appreciation of a wonderful performance, but a light experience.
Yeah.
I want to call attention to some of our growth resources because light is such a big, big, big subject that everybody's going to need, again, some of that support to keep that the focus of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And we each came up with something different. There are three of us here. There's Russell, myself, and Terry that helps with the technical part. Terry suggested the book Journey to Ultimate Spirituality. It's a book I have written. And it talks about this faith and trust and some of the ways and the tools to stay focused on the light. And it helps you to look at some of your wounds and recognize that's not who you are. It's just a wound.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's tools on how to move through it. It's really a workbook where there's places in it for you to write your journey and your experience. It is totally a journey to ultimate spirituality. That would be a great resource. In addition to that, we try to acknowledge a workshop because some people prefer those. Some people prefer just a short CD that they can listen to in their car. The CD that Russell suggested was the Chakra CD, which, again, if we're going to have those pathways of light open, we need to understand the chakras and how they work.
Mm-hmm.
So the Chakra CD, the book, Journey to Ultimate Spirituality, which is a place you can write and contemplate and begin to see what parts of you are light and which parts are wounds. And then the CARE workshop is what I recommended. It's brand new, hot off the press. It's the latest workshop we did, but it talks about how to bring care to the body, mind, spirit, and emotions. And without taking care of them in an energetic way, then, again, the light can't make it all the way through. And then you have experiences in your life, but they're singular.
Yeah.
It's an emotional experience. It's a mental experience. It's a physical experience. You may even have a few little heart experiences or a lot. But if they don't make it all the way through, you do not have a light experience.
True.
Okay. We have an email from Teresa in Asheville. My parents are heavy drinkers and have been most of my life. They've been diagnosed as alcoholics, but their denial and addiction keeps them from that truth. A wise person told me that they drink to shade themselves from light. How could this be? Do you agree with that? You want to start with that, Russell?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, I agree. The you know that famous saying, it was used in Nelson Mandela's acceptance speech in South Africa, but he didn't write it. It's Marianne Williamson, I think, poet, author, came up with it. Says, you know, it's not our light that we're afraid of. It's not our darkness that we're afraid of, but our light.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's absolutely true. I see that strongly. You know, having kids, it's you get to revisit all of the experiences that you had in a child as, and going to school. You see it all again unfold with your kids, and it's all fresh for me. All the pressure to not be too much different than your friends. You know, if your friends fail the test, you hate to say, I made 100. You go, well, yeah, I did pretty good. Really? Because that was really tough. I think maybe I'm lucky to get an 80. What'd you get? Well, you know, I got a little better than that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe like a 89 or something.
Or 99.
Yeah. When you made 100, you know, but you don't want to say that. I made 100 and it was easy for me. What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to distance yourself too much from people and say, look how bright I am.
Mm-hmm.
And we have millions of ways to damp down our light, alcohol being one of them. But, you know, just telling yourself over and over again, you know, oh, you could do better. That wasn't so great. Don't think so highly of yourself. Don't be arrogant. You know, we have all these sayings that just smack us, our spirit down and down and down because we're afraid to say, I'm perfect. I'm divine light. You know, that sounds like that's sacrilege. What are you saying? That you're equal to God? That you never screw up? Look at you. What makes you so important? And it's hard to say, well, I do have lessons. We all do. But that doesn't stop me from being divine light. And yes, I want to be part of that divinity. I'm not going to say that I'm useless and stupid mm-hmm. just because I have lessons that come up.
Right.
That's so hard for us to do that.
And every time we say, every time we eat comfort food or say, no, I really can't express my truth here, or we tamp down our feelings of, you know, there was a part of me that came up and said, oh my gosh, I'm sitting here sobbing in the middle of this. What's this guy next to me going to think? And then I let it go. You know, it could have blocked that wonderful experience I had. Anytime we let any of those things damp down our light, and what I see when people become alcoholics is that they have done a lot of shading of themselves from the light before it finally manifests as just, how do I totally douse myself out of the light?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the physical manifestation of having blocked it a lot. And, you know, some of it is that we do it intentionally, and some of it's been programmed into us to make us think we aren't worthwhile.
Yeah, I see. You know, my youngest daughter, Sarah, the older one had a couple of years of private school before she went into public school in the first grade. But the younger one pretty much started public school in pre-K, they call it now. It's even before kindergarten. And so some of the children that she has been friends with, she's been friends with since she was 4 years old. And I've gotten to see these same kids, you know, go through 7, 8 years now and watched them grow up. And some of the little children that were in her kindergarten class and that she still is in contact with today, I'll see them every once in a while when we pick her up from school or when she has a party or something like that. And those poor little kids, I remember them in kindergarten being just bright little lights. They'd run up to you and, you know, hey, who are you? Do you want to play? And they were so friendly and open, and they've become fat and scared and surly. And, you know, the light inside them has just shrunk year after year after year, and they've put up all these defenses to sort of, you know, shade and damp and cover up that light, because it's not okay to just be happy and bright and out there and open and trusting and all the fears and prejudices and stuff that our society teaches. They've all just sucked it up and become little dark clouds sometimes. And it's just heartbreaking to see.
It is. It is. It is very much so. We have another email from Stacy in Boone, North Carolina. I saw in my meditation that light was in quotes, in and underlined, in everything around me, lighting the way. Yet I have trouble feeling supported by the, quote, bad things around me. My mind doesn't see them as lighting the way. Instead, they distract me. How can I train my mind to see and feel myself and others as light? I'm going to start with this one.
Okay.
You know, I teach classes here, and I've taught it to my adults, but I've really, really emphasized with my children, because they get influenced very young, that I teach here, to look at every interaction as either a contribution or a resonance of the heart. And the contributions are people that aren't recognizing they're even bringing their heart. It hasn't made it all the way through body, mind, spirit, and emotions. It's just some part of them expressing. But the heart is always there.
Uh-huh.
Like I was saying in the Chopin piece, his heart finally made it through this performer.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that parts of it didn't make it through anyway, because there were parts of it, music was incredible. But that pain in him was in there. You felt it in the music. Well, I felt the pain, but it's like the light went through it. I cried out the pain, and I felt just total light.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it is in everything around you, and it is in every person, but sometimes they've blocked it. Maybe in every single part of them, they've blocked it. And if they haven't received it all the way through from heart down to manifestation, then you won't have a complete resonance. Or if you're blocked, you won't have a resonance.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes you're just a contribution and you know it. But even being aware of, okay, my heart is trying to contribute here, even though I'm mad at them and I'm not liking them and I'm in judgment of them, seeing the difference between a contribution and a resonance and trying to be aware of that. That's what I've been teaching my children. And they journal it every night, where they've gotten contributions, where they've gotten resonance, and then I have the word zilch, where they weren't aware of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was just a zilch. Both of them were blocked, and they knew it.
Yeah. I think that I would answer that with my first baby step of the day. You know, we always try and list a couple of entry-level things you can try to really feel a particular energy. When I was maybe 14, I think you took me one night down to a place in downtown Atlanta, near Piedmont Park, called the Foundation of Truth. And it was a group dedicated to bringing light to the planet. And they held meditations there. I believe it was like Wednesday nights. You could go and meditate with this group of people to try and... it was a guided meditation. They would direct you to specific things in yourself or particular places on the globe that needed light. And you would... all focused together on bringing that light. And it was a revelation for me. I walked out of there feeling enlightened, mm-hmm. like light was coursing through me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, up until I was about 12 or 13, I guess, we went to church every Sunday. So it was not that I had never been to a community event where people were supposed to be heartful. And we had a good church. The people in there were very heartful, but I never felt full of light afterwards. I had some good heartful experiences. I felt that the people, when they prayed for John Smith's leg to get better, they really wanted his leg to get better. They were trying to bring their best, and they were trying to be good neighbors and devout, righteous people. But the element of service was missing. You know, it didn't feel like they were trying to serve the planet. And that's the thing that really struck me about that foundation of truth. And I hope that we've carried that over here in Ottawahee, that guiding principle of it's more than just about our community. It's more than just about the individuals. It's about serving the planet by bringing light. And if you can be part of some group dedicated to service, whether that's, fundraising for crippled children or helping the homeless or whatever group you can be a part of that is there to serve and bring light, it will pull you up out of whatever individual quagmire you get in, and you will have a chance to see the light in everything more often than not if you're coming from that place of service.
It expands your vision of light, in other mm-hmm. words. Yeah. You know, one of the baby steps that I had fit very much with what I was saying earlier is that when you journal at night, identify whether just one part of you,
mm-hmm.
your emotions, your thinking, your doing, or your heart quality of the day, identify if one part of you is just expressing and the rest is kind of left on their own.
Right.
In other words, if you had a dominant part, if you were really upset most of the day, yes, you went ahead and you did everything you needed to and you maybe had thoughts along with it, but you know, you kept coming back to that same feeling. Or if your mind was sort of on a gerbil wheel and it kept coming back to thinking about the same thing that you had to plan or that had happened in the past or whatever. Or if you were just, you know, so engrossed in your doing that you weren't aware of being that light person at all or bringing any light to the planet, you were just so into whatever the problem was you were working on or the accomplishment you were trying to accomplish, that my baby step was, okay, look at the end of the day to see if one part of you dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you going to do? How are you going to outline a different light pathway?
Yeah.
For the next day. Because if you're going to have a light pathway, you've got to get that one wounded part that's trying to dominate, and it is wounded if it's trying to dominate, out of the way.
And that's good because I think that helps people see, if they're honest about it, that a lot of what we consider to be good friendships or powerful working relationships are not those light-filled resonances of all our bodies. We've found somebody who thinks the way we do, and we have a good mental connect with them, or somebody that's very kind and helps hold whatever we're feeling for us. You know, we've found a nice connect on one level, but it's not all levels at once, and so it's not really light.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure everyone at that symphony last night enjoyed the symphony, and it was pretty spectacular. The whole thing really was. I'm sure they all enjoyed it, but they didn't necessarily all have a light experience.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We have another email from Robert in Asheville. Good afternoon, Robert. He says, good afternoon to us and good afternoon to you. Your experience at the symphony reminds me of a similar time when I was a postgraduate student in Europe visiting Venus, Italy. As scholars, we were allowed to tour the St. Mark's Square and view the magnificent art that was there. As I stood before an illuminated manuscript on an old stone wall, I suddenly wept uncontrollably. This, for me, talks about the vastness of light and its ability to permeate us, no matter what time it originated in, and indeed across the centuries. Yes, it is a similar experience to what I had. And that's because the artist, the musician, the composer, all have to be connected to that light. You can see some beautiful artwork, and you can look at all the composition and where the light is focused, and the dimensional qualities and the color qualities, and you can go through all of that and say, that's beautiful. And if it hits some remembrance of an emotional comfort in you, it's emotionally satisfying. But that light experience, I'm so glad you wrote in, Robert, because it really is amazing to have this experience. And it's nice to know other people did. And it's not that I haven't had a resonance all the way down with people, which is a light experience, but this was like going through every performer that had played this composition with light. It's like it all became a synergy. And it wasn't just my experience or the performer's experience, it was the hour experience of all of that concentrated energy of light, because light does build from every experience through the centuries.
Yeah.
Well, did you have any more to say about that?
I just loved the point he made about how timeless it is, that something, a composition, a picture, a manuscript could have been written thousands of years ago, and it can still touch us because that connection, that conduit from all the way up in the divine will, all the way down through all of the bodies of whoever the artist was, whoever the person receiving it is, lines up, and that stands outside of time and space.
Yes. Yes, light is not limited to time and space, and that's an important thing. And that helps us to answer Chris's question in the beginning, to stay focused in that faith and trust beyond our wound, that wounds pull us into that moment of time and space, and we're much bigger than that.
Yes.
We're connected bigger than that. I do want to acknowledge another sponsor. This is BountifulBuys.com. It's a place where you can go green online. You can reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique. BountifulBuys.com has clothes, accessories, books, and gifts that will go easy on the planet and on your wallet. And not to mention that it's going to save you a great deal of time. This is an opportunity. When you shop online, it increases your efficiency and your stewardship of your time. But it also is an opportunity to tune in to what that item is and how it would work for you, rather than always having to be tactile in that buying experience.
Yeah.
This is from Eve in Charlotte, North Carolina. I feel I shine my light in my work and my intimate relationships, but have been blown away by the reactions of some who have tried to shut me down with lack of appreciation, betrayals, and judgment. How do you hold on to your belief that you are truly shining your best and it's worth continuing? In other words, sort of like you said around the children experience, when those around you are really shutting down and not resonating their light, then how do you maintain bright and not only not get shut down by their dark, but not try to be like that dark?
Uh-huh.
Do you want to add to that, Russell?
Well, my advice would be my second baby step today, and that would be find a spiritual teacher that you can work with. It's been the most powerful experience in my life, we have a fear of that in the West. It's accepted practice in the Eastern world. If you're Chinese or Indian, if you've been raised in a Buddhist tradition or even Islamic, you know, the idea of a guru, an imam, some sort of master that you would go and have them guide you through the intricacies of not getting stuck, not getting damped down, not having your light be covered over. Because personally, it's hard to do that. You need somebody who has mastered that ability to stand outside time and space and feel that infinite light connection and guide you in that when you don't feel it. Here, we're so afraid of that. We call it a cult. You know, anytime you listen to somebody else, you're not thinking for yourself. And we've put up so many barriers against that, that we think everybody should be independent and alone and not form too close a tie with anybody else, or they'll be manipulated like a puppet. Mm-hmm. And it's an unfortunate thing that we've done, because a spiritual teacher can be so incredibly powerful if you really want to feel that divine light, if you want to get yourself in alignment where the light flows through you most of your life. Then you're going to face literally dozens of challenges every day, and you'll probably stumble on about seven or eight of them, and you're going to need somebody to tweak you a little bit here and give you a word of advice there and help you get back into alignment when you can't even see that you've gotten out. Mm-hmm. It's difficult from a Western perspective, but, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, I've accepted my mother as my spiritual teacher. That is a hard thing to do, to set aside that personal family relationship and say, wait a second now, there's something powerful and spiritual here, and I've got to turn my brain 320 degrees and get into a new frame of mind and see what is being offered spiritually, and not just say, oh, well, I have all these family patterns, I'm going to run away from that. If you can get beyond that, you can get beyond anything. Anybody can do this, no matter how much conditioning they've had. Ask your heart to lead you to a spiritual teacher, and you can have this support.
Yes, that's very important. Our Western philosophy is pull yourself up by the bootstraps, which is an impossibility.
Yeah.
It really is. We have another email from Melinda in Athens, Ohio. My meditation around light this morning was how the human eye can see a single candle flame from a long distance in the dark. It's like the darkness actually makes it easier to see the light. That's a good point, Melinda. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible picture, because, you know, sometimes we think, oh, why did I choose to come in with this particular lesson? I know your youngest child, my grandchild, I was going over her astrological chart with her, and I said, honey, it looks like most of your lessons are around your family. Oh, no, that's terrible. I have to be with them all the time.
Wait, are you sure that wasn't me that was saying that?
So, you know, it's sometimes hard to see that candlelight, but the darkness sometimes makes it clear that how special and precious that light is. You know, if we didn't have that contrast, and we're in a whole yin-yang kind of planet here, so that we can actually see what is light and what is a wound, what is resistance and what is that flow of energy through our energetic body.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for family pictures. I have pictures of my kids and my wife stuck all over my office and my mirror in my bathroom. You know, I have family pictures all over the place. And there's one picture of my family, my wife and my two kids, taken when the kids were very little. I think my youngest was maybe 2 or 3 years old. And we're at the beach. And I have, you know, scores of pictures that are more modern than that. This is a very old picture, but I leave it in my room because it's so perfect. We were at the beach. We're all happy. We're all smiling. The sun's shining on us. We all look very bright. But you can see that with all that light and all that brightness and all that color coming off of us, because we're all wearing our beach wear and our whites and our sunglasses and all that, if you didn't have the dark, if there weren't the shadows and the shading on the side of the face, it would just be a blurry blob of a picture. It's the darkness that gives definition to the light, that sort of gives it shape and meaning. So darkness isn't bad. We need the lessons that we've chosen and the pain that we go through, because it sharpens and focuses our light.
Yes, yes. I'll not add to that, because we have another email from Diane in New York, New York. My view of light this morning was simultaneously a beautiful pipe organ, like the cathedral kind, and waves of light that looked like a school of tiny fish swimming in beautifully coordinated formation. She says light is one of her favorite heart energies. So she had a beautiful pipe organ and waves of light that coming from it, sort of like the tiny fish swimming. You gave the gas pump illustration. Uh-huh. But what she was seeing was that aura of light, that shimmer of light that comes off of everything, because everything really does contain the essence of life,
uh-huh.
which is light. We have one more, and then we're going to have to call this an end. This is from Julie in Lake Lure. My meditation of light was me cleaning windows. Without cleansing and decluttering, the light doesn't have a chance to get in. I think everybody's made this point so beautifully today, is that, yes, we have the dark in others, in ourselves. We have wounds. Our intent needs to be, though, that we not only are going to be that light, but we're going to bring that light and join it with other lights so that it can transform the planet, so that we can be of service on the planet, so that we can be bigger than just our little initial light. We actually can grow that light.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought out the point how important it is that if you're going to grow your light, you have to get rid of, you have to cleanse and declutter. and it really helps to have a spiritual teacher to do that.
Yeah.
So I think all of the pictures today came together really, really, really well.
Yeah, awesome collection of people writing in.
And it was a resonance of light with Robert today, in that his experience was so similar to mine, of experiencing that light that had been anchored for many, 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 many years by different people, having that experience, starting with the author of the artistic creation. Okay, let me remind you that we have archived shows that you can listen to. I want to remind you that we have a Facebook. We would love for you to comment on our Facebook to get conversation going there.
And you can access the archives right from the Facebook page.
That's true. So check out our Facebook, come to our website, and experience our growth resources. The three that we mentioned today was the book, Journey to Ultimate Spirituality, the CD on the chakras, and the workshop on care. So join us again next Monday at 3, and thank you so much.